welcome. When I was about 12 years old, we got a new pastor named Paul. And I was at that age when I started to really tune in to what people in the church were reading and saying. When I heard over and over the words of Paul, I was sure that they were talking about Pastor Paul. Imagine my shock when I realized that all Christians knew Paul and that he wasn't actually my Pastor Paul. Paul was a wise leader and somewhat of a troublemaker, and so was the apostle with the same name. And to this day, I have a deep respect for Paul the apostle's advice to those early Christians. So I begin with the words of Paul, "Grace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." As we celebrated on the 12th day of Christmas after church a few weeks ago, with bags over our heads in the darkness, and talked about while we played with fire in our first Sunday school class of 2020, Jesus is the light. And our scripture today reminds us of that over and over and over again. In those celebrations, we also recognize that the Christmas story starts way before the birth of Christ. The Old Testament reminds us over and over of human existence in the darkness and the promise of a coming light. So today in Isaiah 9 and on Christmas Eve, we read, "Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." And in our psalm today, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." All through Advent, we waited and we prepared. Mary and Joseph traveled to where they were destined, and the kings followed that bright star. Jesus is the light. He has arrived. In 1 Corinthians today, Paul, the wise apostle Paul, reminds us of what it means to be in that light, that we are to be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Easy, right? I mean, we are part of his community of believers, so we always agree about the way to live and serve as Christians, right? We never argue about what it's like to be a Christian. No, that's not right. I wish it was that easy. We all wish it was that easy. For thousands of years, we wish it was that easy. Christians have been arguing since, well, I don't know, probably 33 AD, I imagine. As hard as we Christians are on each other, we are united in his message. And what sounds like, again in Paul's words, foolishness to those who are perishing, to us being saved, it is the power of God. We are committed by our faith. I suppose each of us believers have had moments or years or even whole lifetimes as doubters of this foolishness. So we can know and remember living in that darkness. But when we open our eyes to his light again, everything changes. What darkness have you left behind to be in the light to follow God? Think about those moments of darkness and what it pulled you away from when you walked into the light, what you left behind. Jesus brought his life to fill the world. In our gospel reading, we heard him proclaim, "For all, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And he goes to those fishermen, and he calls upon them. He meets them casting their nets into the Sea of Galilee, and he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately, they left everything behind, and they followed him. And then he asked two more, and the scriptures say they immediately left everything and followed him. Wow, I mean, that's what I call united. It's hard to imagine for yourself. That's what Paul was talking about, united in the same purpose. Each member of God's community, past and present, has made a similar choice. Think a moment. What have you left to follow God? Is it physical or measurable? Have you, like the fishermen in Matthew 4, left a lifestyle or a career, family to follow God? Are there people that you had to leave back in the darkness? Negative and toxic people can have a strong hold on us, as well as people we love and adore. Strings that are hard to untie as we head into the light. Or maybe you disconnected from painful emotions, addictions, or habits that had a strong hold on you. Maybe there are resentments or fears that your faith has broken you free from. We have all been personally invited by God to come out of darkness and to unite with his community of believers, not to save ourselves, but to join Jesus and his former fishermen on their journey, to spread his message. Can you imagine witnessing Jesus as he, in verse 23 today, went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom? What an inspiration and example to all Christians to follow in Christ's footsteps. So how has God inspired you on your journey? I encourage you to think about that and to share your inspiration with anyone out there who is searching for the light, or some just painfully and stubbornly sitting in the dark. So when we think about Paul's advice to us today as a modern day congregation, what unifies us as a congregation here at Lord of Life? Or as Pastor Amanda likes to ask us, what keeps you here? She's probably asked you that question before. So what keeps you here? I want to hear from you. What keeps you here? What brings you back? What makes you sign up for the next thing or come on Sunday? I think we talked about this at our council retreat, and our youngest members said, family, sitting next to my grandma at church on Sunday. And we talked about long ties and years of connections and somebody from work and students I had, finding them here at church later, and really many, many connections that unite us. If we look at our mission statement for inspiration, are we united in making connections? How? How do we show unity in the connections that we make? Some examples? Yeah, every week the calendar fills up with projects where you come together, you're connected, and then you work to connect with the youth at the schools and providing lunches, and the women of Kauai in providing, you know, really life-changing resources. And those connections create this web that we talked about in our council retreat that is amazingly connected and intricate and very powerful. Are we united in welcoming all? Are we opening our doors and our hearts to everybody who walks in that door and really committed to that? Our passing of the peace is just one small example of that, making sure everybody feels welcomed here today and anytime the church doors are open. Unless it's 35 below, then we're not as welcoming. So are we working together to strengthen and serve both the healthy and the hurting? Tell me what you see in our weeks and our days and our years, modeling that we're together. We strengthen, we serve both the healthy and hurting. Yeah, all those programs this week, AA, Loving Families, right? So maybe the more difficult question is, what takes us away? What keeps us apart from each other? Disunited. That's what Paul was worried about in the gospel today. The divisions. Most often it's our differences. Not just religious different religious practices or different political beliefs, but more subtle differences in personality, habits, and style of talking and thinking and doing. We find ourselves saying, well, I wouldn't have done it that way, or why can't we do it this way? And these are just little peas in an otherwise most comforting stack of mattresses that can become very distracting and move us away from our mission as a church community. Let us take Paul's advice and be united in the same mind and the same purpose, focusing our attention and energy on what brings us here and keeps us here and letting go of the differences. Or better yet, we can embrace and celebrate the different ways we might each choose to live in God's light. Let us pray. Uniting God, may your word move us to make connections by welcoming all, strengthening and serving the healthy and hurting as we live out our mission as a community of believers and fishers of humans. Amen.